November 18th, 2006.
Blind, cool, tech, with fun.
Well, I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology.
Hello. Is anybody there?
And blindness.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
At the museum at the American Printing House for the Blind, talking with the director, Michael Hudson, and today's a pretty special day here at the museum, Mike.
Yeah, we're celebrating the 75th anniversary of the beginning of the National Library Service. 1931, Congress passed an act with the ignominious name of Pratt-Smoot, the Pratt-Smoot Act, and that created the National Library Service. And so really, you can kind of trace the beginning of the talking book libraries that now, you know, are scattered all over the country to that law. And so that's what we're doing here today. To celebrate it, we have gathered 42 narrators from five different talking book studios around our area and brought them together to re-record the very first book that the printing house recorded, which was Gulliver's Travels, from back in 1937.
And am I understanding correctly that this is the original studio? Or?
That's right. We're in the original 1883 part of the building. And now this room has not been used as a studio since at least the 1940s. In the 40s, we moved most of our recording operation down into the basement. But the strange thing is, Larry, you've been in this room many times, right?
The museum conference room?
Museum conference room.
Did
you remember that there's a ramp that leads up into it? Did you ever wonder why there was a ramp?
I thought it was a little curious.
The reason is that there's 2 inches of cork on the floor of that room.
Is that right?
Because
interesting.
When the studio was put together, of course, there was, you know, printing presses and stereograph machines, and, you know, Braille was being made all around it. And so they had to insulate it from all that vibration. So they put a cork floor in for that purpose. So, you know, it's a little odd. That's the way the printing house is. There's little odd remnants of previous purpose.
All over.
And I love that. And of course, only a few people know that. So you start asking around to the old timers, and they can tell you a lot.
Well, in fact, we're about to celebrate our 150th year here in a couple
of
years.
So that's right.
Someday you'll have to tell me what those three little doors are over there outside my office. I've always wanted to know. I imagine them being mini studios.
Well, you know, I haven't been. You know, I rarely get up to your area because you guys are really buried in the pardon the term, the bowels of the operation, but. You know, I'm hoping to get back there and look at the work history of what has gone on up there in where the computer programmers are now.
So, who do we have reading in here now?
This is a lady named Carol Honecker, and she reads for the. Let me check my cheat sheet here. She reads for, this is Joyce Honecker, and she reads for the Kentucky Talking Book Library in Frankfort, Kentucky.
Okay.
In Frankfort, basically, they will record Kentucky authors that maybe might not be seen as nationally interesting by the National Library Service. Mm-hmm. So they'll record local and regional fiction and nonfiction.
Now, who was the original narrator back in 1937, did you say?
Yes, 1937, Gulliver's Travels was recorded by a local radio personality named Hugh Sutton. And we had another narrator that year. We actually recorded five books that first year for the National Library Service, and the other one was WHAS's George Patterson.
I remember George Patterson very well, yes.
Yeah.
I was very sad to see him pass on.
Well, he recorded here until the 1980s.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the very first narrator on this project was a grand dame of APH, Terry Hayes Sales.
She's still here.
And Terry started recording for the American Printing House for the Blind in 1938.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
And we always, I don't know if it's teased her, but she may be the only person in history that's gone Now, were these people not recording on wax cylinders at that time?
Yes, they were.
So she has gone from wax cylinders to digital.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
And everything in between, yeah. I mean, what Terry has forgotten about recording, it, you know, could fill up, you know, an encyclopedia.
And she still sounds great.
She does sound great. I can't wait to get this recording. We don't know how exactly that we're going to get it out there, but it's going to be out there in some kind of a digital format that should be easy to get a hold of.
And, great.
And it should be a lot of fun.
Now the original recording process back in 37, I think. I was reading where they were these 20-minute cylinders.
That's
and if
right.
They made a mistake.
They had to start over again. Yeah. No way to, like with the digital format now, I mean, if you read a sentence wrong, you stop. You go back and you fix the sentence and you go on.
Well, and even with the tape, they could at least splice it.
Right. Now, Larry, did you help design a studio, what's the name of the product?
Studio Recorder.
Studio Recorder.
Definitely.
Did you help program that?
No, mainly it's Rob's program.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to say hi, Larry. Good to see you.
Hey, Gary. Gary Mudd. We're actually doing an interview, Gary, so I should introduce you.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you...
The media is here, so I'm...
Okay,
out.
All right.
So they're going to come up and talk to Roberta, so I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem. Good to see you.
You just never know what star of stage and management will show up. That's the problem. He hears everything. Can't get away with it.
So, back in 1937, this was the only part of APH, right? Wasn't an extension on the front?
No. Yeah, it was basically a three-story building with a wing on the back, and we're in that rear wing.
Oh, okay. I heard this morning Terry Miners was one of your readers.
Yeah. He read this morning, I think, at 9 o'clock. Was great.
Was it a hoot?
It was a hoot, but, you know, he was pretty... I mean, these people are taking this very seriously. I mean, they understand that, you know, it's not just every day that you celebrate a 75th anniversary.
Absolutely.
So, it wouldn't be possible, Larry, for folks to get access to all this material, all these great books.
It wouldn't
be possible without government support. You know, so we've got to, I know the government takes a lot of hits, but you got to give credit where credit is due. This was a great program.
You're not kidding. I'm one of its most avid supporters. In fact, I'm really excited and privileged to be able to be working with them in their conversion over to the digital talking book process. And that'll be rolling out next year, in fact.
Okay.
Are you going to go catch the media?
Yeah.
Well, good. Thank you, Michael.
Hey, thank you, media.
That's right. See you later.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.
I'm going to scoot over there next to you, Barbara.
That's right. That's right. And we close.